Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Horror movies? Do you understand why lovers who go bad? Vengeful love, obsessive love. Love and hate, it's all the same to us on Sci-Fi and Scream. Tune in to our very extra special 100th show when we go all out and bloody, very bloody on Valentine's Day, February 14th. So be our Valentine on a bloody Valentine's Day. Join Sonya and guests with mirth and melancholy as they go through the list of delightfully squeamish, gory, splatter and slasher cult classics in horror movies and discover the joy of broken hearts on bloody Valentine's Day. On Tuesday evening, the 14th of Feb, 10 to 11 p.m. only on Joy 94.9. Oh yes, there will be fabulously bloody prizes too.
This episode of Sci-Fi and Squeam was a very special episode. It was our 100th show. Number 100. That's a century of radio airtime broadcast on Joy 94.9. And just before you listen to all of this podcast of February the 14th's Bloody Valentine's special, I just want to say a big shout out and a thank you to all those who've been involved with the show over the last 100 episodes. So a big thanks to the people at Joy 94.9, too numerous to actually say each one of your names. Cheers to you guys. And also to some of the contributors and co-hosts and guests I've had in the past, to RM Radcliffe. I'd also like to thank people such as authors Kirsten McDermott, Jason Narung, Mary Borsellino. I'd like to also pass on my thanks to other cohorts such as Tony Pittman, Dean Akuri, Robert Bishop, other people that have been involved in the show. Again, the list is too long. To my original co-hosts, Albert Bowie and Caroline Gachon. Thanks to them, because otherwise without them and their ideas, this would never ever have happened. Also, last but not least, a thanks to you, the listener. I hope you've enjoyed the last 100 shows. And let's make another 100 more. Thanks for listening to us on Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Welcome to Sci-Fi and Squeam number 100. Yes, indeed, it is the 100th show that I'm aware of, and it is Valentine's Day. So we're going to go a little bit bloody this Valentine's. Thanks to the Spirit Lounge for another great show as well. And that track was Under Your Spell by Desire from Drive, the Drive soundtrack. And we were sort of enjoying that in the studio here. Now, in the studio, I've got to help me with my depravity, sickness of love obsessed, love rejected, love dejection, disappointment, self-loathing, stalking even, revenge, love lost, torture and pain. We celebrate this 100th show with some love and hate. So RM Radcliffe, welcome back.
Thank you for having me. I'll be bringing the love.
Bringing the love? Who's bringing the hate? Tony, is that you? Tony Pittman?
That's my role, yes.
That's your role. Dean Akuri, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
I think it's the first time you've been on the show.
Yeah, this is my first time.
So you're a virgin?
I am.
Not for much
longer. Not for long, Dean. Not for long.
Great, because everyone else has been on board here before. And I wish you all a bloody Valentine.
Thank you very much, Sonya.
It's very special.
I wish you a happy bloody Valentine as well.
And for anyone else who enjoys horror or obsessive films and movies that are to do with love that goes very wrong, you can SMS us and tell us what your favourites are. Now, we're going to look at some films that offer us a taste of bloodiness, obsessive horror and psychological thriller. It's a couple of words that come to mind. But first, I want to ask each one of my guests something. And that is, what makes a bad Valentine? Who's up for that? Any experiences that you might want to share or not?
Given the theme of tonight's show, a bad Valentine is probably one that ends up with your date stabbing you to death in the bathtub with a meat cleaver. It's probably not going too well if you get to that point.
Yeah. What are you doing in the bathtub on a first date?
Well.
Right, that's pretty forward. Is that like speed dating for you, Dean?
Well, that's very speed dating. You move from one to the next, don't you?
Now, Dean Akuri, of course, first time on the show. Tell us a bit about what you've been getting up to.
I've been jumping around like crazy. I've been a little bit of a crazy man about town. I've had midsummer madness, but I have just recently come back from Sydney for Fair Day because I'm doing sci-fi speed dating for Mardi Gras.
Of course you are. Well,
which I can't wait for, really. I'm still trying to decide whether to go dressed as Davros or a Dalek or Doctor Who.
What about Jar Jar Binks?
Oh, could you imagine? No one would want to hear me talk.
It's one of Tony's favourites, is Jar Jar.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Robert Radcliffe in the hot seat.
Well, I was just thinking, being given someone's heart figuratively could be a good thing. Literally not so good.
Ooh, has that happened to you, has it?
Not yet, but hey, he's hoping for 2013.
Lucky
this
number.
This is Dr. Freudenberg.
Oh, goodness, Dr. Freudenberg.
Welcome, doctor.
He's on a bit later. Well, not too much later, actually. And he's a psychoanalyst. And, of course, he would like to explain to us in a moment just what it is. What is obsessive love? That's where we're starting from. Now, Tony, did I ask you what... Oh, yes, you talked about the bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got something there you've translated for us.
Oh, would you like to hear my French poem now?
I would like to hear your
Sonia,
poem.
Just for you, because it is the day of Saint-Valentin. Okay, here we go. Si un cœur a été brisé, ce serait-il de battre? Ou pourrait-il être suturé? Si un cœur a été déchiré en deux, le pardon pourrait-il être la colle? Si c'est à cause d'un poison amer, d'une certaine âme nocive, le réconfort pourrait-il être le salut? Combien de temps un cœur peut-il rester si bleu?
Wow, that sounds impressive.
Oui, Sonia Souter, that was my romantic Valentine, bloody Valentine poem for you.
And what does it mean, roughly?
Oh, it means roughly.
I think I wrote it.
If a heart was broken, would it flatline or could it be sutured? If a heart was torn in two, could forgiveness be the glue? If 'twas bitter poison from some noxious soul, could solace be its salvation? How long can a heart remain so blue? Written by Sonia Souter herself. I have to give credit where credit's due.
Then it wasn't in French, my original one. Thank you for doing that.
It was my pleasure, Sonia.
Well, let's find out what the first phase is of obsessive love. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This is Dr. Freudenberg. Good evening. I am an expert in obsessive love and as a psychiatric condition. Now, unfortunately, obsessive love these days is becoming very common amongst quite a lot of the people. It can be characterized by four phases. First, we have phase one, the attraction phase. And in this phase, normally there is a very immediate attraction from the very first meeting and thoughts of already a romantic interest arising, urge to rush into a relationship even before knowing if you are compatible with the other person. And they have unrealistic fantasies about the relationship developing before it is even start. So those are the traits of phase one, attraction phase.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, there are a chosen few that will stand against the vampires, the demons, and the forces of darkness. These are the voyages of the crew of Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Yes, Sci-Fi and Scream, number 100. That was Dr. Freudenberg. I think he's from Alsace-Lorraine.
Yeah, on the borderland.
On the borderland.
Yeah, between France and Germany, I think, yes.
Tell us about that message we just got, Mr. Radcliffe.
Oh, yes. Pete, Bacchus Marsh. The movie Misery comes to mind for them, for Valentine's
Day.
Yeah,
that's a classic. With Kathy Bates, yes.
Yeah, and the foot in the bed.
Oh, God, the foot.
Oh, yes, that's obsessive. She's very obsessive.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah, yeah, and yeah. It goes a bit too far. If you haven't seen the film, well...
Or read the book.
Well, in the book, isn't it her foot... She actually cuts off his feet?
Yes, in the book she saws them off, I believe.
Spoiler alert, dear listener.
It's fine. It's 10 o'clock at night.
That movie came out 20 years ago. If you haven't seen it by now.
Yeah.
Yeah, Misery, definitely. Actually, a few Stephen King ones. Even Christine, you could say, is obsessive.
Yes, oh, that's true.
The car. Takes on a different angle of how an inanimate object can actually have feelings. Mm-hmm. I've been called an inanimate object sometimes in the past. Well, we're going to go through a list. We'll probably start with my list, I guess.
I'm Lucky McKee, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Welcome back. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy in 94.9. It was just a little bit of a mashup. We had The Cult with Little Devil, various others that I thought I would throw in, because when you start to look at music that has that sort of theme to it about obsessive love or love that goes very bad, very wrong in many ways, there's just too much, way too much music out there. Now let's go to the list, because this is the 100th show and it just happens to be Valentine's Day, so I thought why not. One film, it goes back to 1986, it's more of an obsessive possessive type of film, and that is 37 Degrees Le Matin, which is Betty Blue.
Of course.
1986.
Of course.
Yes, probably one of the originals of that type of genre. Now, of course, that starred the amazing Beatrice Dahl as Betty Blue, and based on the novel by Philippe Dijon. It won lots of awards, BAFTA and Oscars, and the César Award, of course, for Best Poster. Because I think the poster is probably the most popular image that even now.
Yeah.
I put it on our Facebook page. So, yeah, look, I have that one as probably number one. Zorg and Betty falling in love. It seems very nice. They get the nice house down by the Riviera or the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty romantic. But if you haven't seen it, definitely try the director's cut, which came out in 2005. So it's got an extra hour of footage if you can handle that much of Beatrice Dahl. It's got lots of sort of piano interludes and moments of the flesh, one would say. It has probably at that time one of the most controversial opening scenes where they're having full-on graphic sex and it looks like real sex. Like, even the actors said they penetrated.
Oh.
Whatever they say in French. For penetration.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
They did penetrate.
So it wasn't simulated, it was
penetrative.
Real.
Wow. Yeah. So
keep that in mind next time you watch it.
Very famous for that. And of course, it all goes bad when Betty, spoiler alert, discovers that she isn't pregnant. Uh-huh. And what is the director saying about that? I'm not sure. So anybody got a favourite, perhaps in that sort of vein? Speaking of blood and things, opening veins, gouging out eyes.
Sure, I'll go for it.
Go for it.
One of my favourites would be Lucky McKee's May.
Oh, May.
2001,
brilliant.
I think, somewhere around there.
2002?
Ooh, close.
Pretty close. That's fine.
Robert, please explain.
List.
I've never heard of that movie.
Explain what it's about.
Okay,
I've got it down
it's
here
about
somewhere.
A young woman named May who is kind of a social outcast, very, very awkward, painfully so, had a very messed up childhood, very bizarre mother, so she grew up to be a very bizarre woman herself. And she obsesses over a man meets while walking to work one day. And her obsession takes some very bloody turns by the end of the film.
Oh.
She decides that she really likes his hands.
Yes.
Literally.
His hands are the feature that she fixates.
She fixates on parts of people's bodies.
American movie, is it?
It is, yes. American, okay. Yeah. He did The Woman, which was the big controversy last year about the animalistic, wild, feral woman that gets captured by a nice, middle-class, white man, American man, and family man, who decides he wouldn't mind a human pet. And doesn't treat her as well as a human. I mean, sorry, as well as a pet would be treated. But that's another great film.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much about Tony. I keep looking over at you because you're right there in the middle.
Well, I mean, this is the classic. I have in mind the classic maybe for our generation, obsessive love movie, which is from a similar era as Betty mm-hmm. Blue, which is,
our
of course...
Our generation, that's right.
Our generation, mm-hmm. that's the X Generation X.
Yes.
And that is, of course, Glenn Close and Michael Douglas, which kind of, for us, made the definitive obsessive love movie in Fatal Attraction.
And the rabbit.
With, of course, the little bunny rabbit, who... Well, spoiler alert, doesn't survive to the end of the movie, let's say. Poor little bunny.
But yes, that's when rejection can actually lead to quite a few issues from the rejectee.
Yes.
Because she's basically rejected by him after they've already done something.
That's right.
A little fling.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit about the woman obsessed and... how she won't say no. It's interesting how a lot of these films are like that. Mm-hmm. May's a little bit like that, just a little.
Yeah, a little.
But she goes out to get her quarry, basically, and gets what she wants.
Yes, gets her perfect partner in pieces.
Pretty much.
Spoiler.
Yeah, patchwork quilt.
And well, and the movie maybe for the generation slightly before ours, but I haven't seen, but I mm-hmm. guess it's a similar theme, is the Clint Eastwood movie, Play Misty
oh,
for Me.
Oh, yes, 1971.
Yeah, I haven't seen
Love
that.
So you
that's
haven't?
A bit before my time.
You haven't yeah. seen that?
I haven't seen that yet.
Well, that is probably the template.
Yes, for everything that came after.
Strange, afterwards. Crazy woman going after wonderful, mm. not crazy men.
Mm.
And he's mm. a radio DJ in that. It's mm. Clint Eastwood's first film.
As a director?
As a director.
Mm, interesting.
So he's a radio DJ. Sonia, you're a radio DJ. It's
who's
Valentine.
Out there?
It's bloody Valentine's night. I can see something happening.
Can you really? Well, we'll wait for that SMS.
That's right.
Because Valentine's is all about that lovely, cute little cherub and cupids and giving the one you love from afar an anonymous, you're supposed to give somebody an anonymous flower, anonymous gift of love and heart or sharing. But isn't that just, sounds to me like a little bit stalky? Because you're not supposed to put your name to it. Is that right?
It should be anonymous, traditionally.
Traditionally, it's supposed to be anonymous. So what does that mean? It's a bit icky.
I love the stalker factor, though.
I know. Look at your face.
I'm like, it's
you're
great.
Smiling.
It's fantastic.
Have you been at that... not receiving end, but at the other end.
Oh, I don't mind a bit of stalking, I must say.
Yeah. Seeking help, are we?
Exactly.
Excellent. All right.
Oh, you're the one who's been leaving those anonymous dead household pets at my front door.
Well, they were alive when I left them.
Oh, all right.
The rabbit.
The rabbit.
Well, it is almost Easter. We will be back in a moment. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Hello, this is Lawrence R. Harvey, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 949.
Hello, my name is Crystal, and I'm a New Age healer and spiritualist and expert in obsessive love. And I run special relationship counseling seminars for people who want to talk through these issues of love and spiritual healing. Now, I'm going to talk to you today about obsessive love. Obsessive love, according to the spirit guides, has four phases. Imagining having these unrealistic fantasies that a relationship is going to start and that they've met their soulmate, really from the very first moment. Well, now I'm going to talk to you about phase two of obsessive love, and that's the anxious phase. See, the anxious phase is when the person suffering from this condition, they start to get anxious. Thoughts of infidelity about their partner. What can happen at this point is they'll start to get a fear of abandonment, and they'll need to be in constant contact with their love interest, and that can be telephones, emails, or even little surprise visits just to be close to their loved one. At this point in the phase, you can see that start to resent their partner talking or interacting with other people. They might even become violent, obsessive, or jealous rages. You might be at a chakra and quantum healing workshop, and you see your partner interacting with another participant, and you become very aggressive and angry and cause a scene and releasing a lot of negative energy. So those are the traits of phase two, the anxious phase of obsessive love.
And Scream on Joy 94.9.
Would you date a man that sounded like that? Anybody?
Go on. In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat.
All right. Now, that was Crystal Healing. That's the last we will ever hear from her.
Oh, she sounded very wise.
But, of course, she was talking about the traits, the things to watch out for obsessive love. Drive-bys is very important, constant emailing, phone calls. You know all of this, Dean.
Yeah, I do it all.
You do it all. Okay. Well, you've got a name for yourself now, so, you know.
It should be working in my favour, but it's not, so I have to go out and get it myself.
Exactly. We like initiative here on Sci-Fi and Scream. We really do. All right. Now, actually, you haven't seen a movie yet that mine, you find.
Mine would be Interview with the Vampire.
Oh, right.
When it came out at the movies, I went and watched it 17 times.
So you were being obsessive.
Oh, I was totally. I loved it. Just the idea of it, and that you would be so obsessed with someone, you would actually turn them into a vampire.
Forever, yes.
And then turn a child into a vampire.
Yeah,
so
that's wrong.
It's so wrong, but it was so right.
It was a good film. And it took ages for them to get round to making it. They spoke about making it 20 years or something. And but I think Tom Cruise is one of the few roles
he's actually good in.
I've actually liked him.
Yeah.
You know.
Just remind me, this is Tom Cruise who gets obsessed with Brad Pitt. Is that the thing?
Yeah, yes, right. And he keeps him as, well, you know, like it's one way of as keeping a date forever, isn't it?
Even just the way at the end with Christian Slater and, I just love it.
Yes, great character. Thank you, Anne Rice, for writing those. Mm. And, yes, well, we are going to do a show in a few weeks' time about vampires versus zombies and how the whole vampire thing has become so gay.
Really?
That's true.
Apparently. And I mean that in the sort of slang term.
You mean effeminate?
Yes. That's apparently what...
The less fun way.
The less fun, yes. I don't know why people use that term. It's not very nice, of course. Well, where are we up to? I was going to mention The Piano Teacher, which is very much obsessive, about a piano teacher. It's French. Again, it seems to be a theme. They're very good at doing these things. It's French / Austrian because it's a Michael Haneke film and he's Austrian, of course. Stars Isabelle Huppert from 2001. And it's pretty amazing. She plays this character called Erica, who is a aging piano professor at a Vienna music conservatory. And she's very conservative. She still lives at home with her mother, her domineering mother. Her father is long gone in a lunatic asylum, as we find out. It's pretty repressive. She's very repressive sexually. There's all sorts of unusual things going on with her mother as well.
Yeah, not one for the kiddies, that one.
It's not one for the
kids.
Watch
that after 10 o'clock once you put the kiddies to bed.
It's outrageous, actually. Yeah. It is outrageous. But seriously, it's a wonderful film because it's all about that repression and obsession. And she gets obsessed with one of her pupils and he's 17 years old and she's a lot older than that. And so it talks about what happens when you do fall in love with someone who's an inappropriate, as that is the case for her character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, she won Best Actress, I think, at Cannes in 2002, and it got Best Film there too. And people were booing because they didn't think
at
it was...
At Cannes.
Wow. Yes.
Really?
People were getting a bit upset. But hey.
Yeah.
You know, that's... Well, I was going to say that's Hollywood. There you go.
That's Michael Haneke for you.
Robert Radcliffe, you're a bit quiet over there.
Yes, we have a new message.
Oh, do we really?
From a listener,
good.
Yes. Paul messages in, says he's enjoying the show, Sonia. Happy 100th.
Ah, yes, thank you,
and
Paul.
And his favourite film of tonight's theme is The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Good move. I spoke about it before, just off air to you, Robert. And
yes, you did.
What I like about it is it's completely about a person who's obsessed.
Just a little bit.
It takes a little too far, the rejection part of it. And it has Jude Law and, of course, Matt Damon, who's just brilliant as Mr. Ripley. And he's very talented at taking on other people's personas, but when he gets there, it's the murder and the mayhem that's perhaps not the right way to go about it.
Problematic.
Little socially unacceptable in some territories.
In some parts of the world. Great film. Who would say that's
up there? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's good that we're coming up also with some LGBT-related same-sex obsessive love movies as well.
No, we seem to have serial killers in them, but hey.
But anyway...
Dean's going, hey,
what are you going to do?
No. No, thanks, Paul. Now, Paul's got a show on Sunday evenings, The Cabaret Room. So certainly everybody tune into that on Sunday nights. It's something good to do on a Sunday evening, I find. All right. Now, come on, Tony, you haven't said anything.
Well, actually, just talking about same-sex obsessive love movies, I've just thought of two that are off the top of my head. One I saw on the weekend, so it's out now, listeners. You can go out and watch it. And I really did enjoy it, which is J. Edgar.
Okay.
The movie about J. Edgar Hoover. Right. I found it a very, very entertaining, very interesting movie. Highly recommend it.
This is the, who's the director?
Clint Eastwood.
It is Clint Eastwood, yep.
And basically it's the story, well, it's kind of a biopic of J. Edgar, but the main thread being his
mother.
Obsessive love. Well, his mother's a bit strange, yeah. But his obsessive love with his deputy, Clyde Tolson, and that they meet in the first few days when he's setting up the FBI. And for 50 years, they have this, in the movie, it's just... Well, it's unrequited love, but they act like lovers. They always, well, apparently in reality, they always used to dress the same, wear the same clothes, always have lunch together, always have dinner together.
That's sad, isn't it?
For this, their whole lives, they lived like a couple, and yet they were repressed. Well, supposedly, according to the film. I think it's a highly recommended movie. So if listeners get the chance, you can watch it now.
At all selected cinemas.
At all select cinemas. And then the other movie that just occurred to me of same-sex obsessive love is a movie from about 5 years ago, Notes on a Scandal.
Yes, I've got that here. I've got a note on that, Notes from a Scandal.
Yes. With Kate Blanchett and Judy Dench.
Judy Dench, who plays the mother.
Who plays the mother in J. Edgar as well.
Yes, I've got it in here somewhere.
Yes.
Notes.
So just a couple
Play Misty for Me. We've done that one. The Loved Ones, which is a 2009 Australian horror film. Yes, she takes going to the prom a little too far. But Notes on the Scandal is scandalous.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed that movie too.
Doesn't give a good angle for lesbianism at all. It's quite disturbing.
No, that's true. And it doesn't show it in a very positive
light. The hand rubbing, yes. A psychological thriller about two women who cultivate a friendship, yes. And Dame Judy Dench plays schoolteacher Barbara Covett, a lonely, older, middle-aged woman. Kate Blanchett is the, sweet Sheba Hart. I mean, look at the names there, the symbolism. Sheba Hart. Barbara Covett. I mean, it's a bit clumsy, isn't it? An art teacher and a married woman with two children. Clearly yearning for an even closer friendship, Barbara, of course, wants to covet Sheba and is carrying on a sexual liaison with one of her 15-year-old students. Goodness. So it's got a lot of scandalous stuff in there and, as you said, same-sex themes. Right, moving on. Dear Jerry out there, and he sent through something interesting about obsessive love and women in some of those films. And I've got one of them here, Possessed, which, of course, 1947, the wonderful Joan Crawford. She always did possessed, maniacal, lunatic woman very well, didn't she?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think. A Straight Jacket was another one. They've always got names like that. Possessed. She plays Louise Howe, a woman who suffers through a one-sided love affair with a man called David Sutton, an eternal bachelor.
Well, I like that way of putting it. She suffers from a one-sided love affair. That's kind of a diplomatic way.
Maybe he should just tell her, look, I'm gay.
That's right.
I'm an eternal bachelor.
That's right.
He's not willing to commit, obviously, to a relationship with her and treats her with a dismissive attitude that feeds her inner uncertainty. And you can cue the image of Joan looking obsessive into the camera, as she was so good at doing. It's that silent movie acting style, which we need more of.
Yeah.
don't you think? Now, I have got a broadcast segment to play, a special Vasco Valentine's Day broadcast that he was very kind to do for me. Let's have a listen to that. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy in 94.9.
Valentine's Day has a vaguely sardonic attraction, particularly the custom of presenting dead plants as metaphor of affection. Additional style points, listeners, if you pay a stranger to courier these dead plants to the recipient. Feeling like a sewer hole in hell as we edge closer to 2012's Valentine's Day precipice? Then prepare to take your loved one, or just your memories, along with you and attend whilst I run down my Valentine's Day listing of genre-appropriate movies. Yes, it's Ball Gazing with Vasco. Loved up and ready for appropriate movies. Yes, it's Ball Gazing with Vasco. Loved up and ready for Daniel Radcliffe and horror thriller The Woman in Black. Directed by James Watkins, this adaptation of a 1983 novel with the same name has as its essential elements the ghost of a scorned woman, taking the lives of children, and of course, Arthur Kipps, adroitly characterised by Daniel Radcliffe. This turgidly atmospheric film is gothic and spooky, perhaps not quite for Valentine's Day, with a release date in Australia of the 3rd of March, but who knows?
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension.
A low maintenance St. Valentine's Day option is always something fast and quick, the blow and go, if you like, in cinema type experiences, all things DVD, VHS, Blu-ray and similar. Prepare to hitch up your strides and straddle, because it's on the box with Vasco this Valentine's Day with a review that's all about retro. Fab anime TV series Urusei Yatsura offers from 1983. St. Valentine's Day Horror, episode number 59, is all about Mako, a small girl falling in love with Ten-chan. Only Ten-chan can't stand Mako. More bold and the beautiful, this storyline will leave you filled with a sense of horror. St. Valentine's Day Horror, Japanese style. Second on my list is Valentine. It has as its essential elements five ordinary and beige female friends, dire death threats concealed within anonymous Valentine's Day cards, and a husky cherub mask killer. This Jamie Blanks directed 2001 horror piece stars a still hot Denise Richards and is the perfect cuddle up view for lovers of chocolate boxes bursting to the brim with maggots. Alleged by some as the best horror film ever made, 2009's My Bloody Valentine proffers essential elements like a psychopathic minor and spectacularly gruesome killings. A standout film in the tradition of perversely stupid gore movies. It's lowbrow entertainment with high-tech execution. When a zombie chases his lover through a graveyard, does it feel like foreplay? My Boyfriend's Back features essential elements, a fridge stocked with human flesh and Cloris Leachman. Some have unkindly commented that My Boyfriend's Back is about as scary as a pocket full of pent-up smurfs. Nevertheless, this 1993 Bob Balaban-directed piece explores themes of teenage cruelty and prejudice. Essential elements include the curiously named and bluishly tinged Johnny Dingle, who hours after interment rises up for a date with Missy McLeod. Settle in with your special Valentine and together occupy a space wherein Archie comics meld with teenage zombie movies, coloured with bits of Carrie and, if you dare, randomly reference Ghost. Tailor-made for queer lovers, a different kind of love story. Lover's Lane, the time 13 moons ago. Essential elements: straight white people, a steel hook, a mental institution, and a crazed killer looking to make a banner out of some random's intestines. This movie truly hocks up one and spits it in the face of the Scream movies and their countless imitators. Director John Stephen Ward takes us back to a simpler golden age
of slasher genre films. If you prefer action bristling with briskness, this movie, Lover's Lane, will not disappoint. This 1999 production manages a few memorably creepy scenes that'll imprint as effectively as a newly fresh corpse's bowels evacuating.
My insides all turn to ash, so slow.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Freudenberg, expert psychoanalyst specializing in the obsessive love condition. Now, we move in to the most serious phase. Phase 4, the destructive phase. This is really serious, I'm telling you. Because at this point in time, these people can become destructive. Yes, all kinds of destructive behavior is exhibited by the people. They have strong feelings of depression and maybe panic and urgency, desperation. Sometimes there is a loss of self-esteem, terrible reaction, like self-blame, self-hatred, anger and rage, and sometimes they even seek revenge on the other person, yeah? So those very serious traits are the traits of phase 4, the destructive phase. So that, in a nutshell, is all the traits of what we call obsessive love. This has been Dr. Freudenberg reporting for Sci-Fi und Scream on Joy 94.9. Yeah.
Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, number 100. We're getting heaps of messages, which is absolutely great. Pete from Bacchus Marsh again. What about American Beauty? Remember that part of the end? Mm-hmm. Dame Judi Dench is amazing. Give her the Oscar, not Meryl. Okay. And what about Fatal Attraction? Look, we have mentioned Fatal Attraction and the rabbit and the pot and all those sort of, obsessive traits that Glenn goes through, Glenn Close. But My Bloody Valentine, Robert Radcliffe.
Yeah, I thought I would watch the remake, the 3D remake.
And?
In preparation for the show. Yep. I didn't watch it in 3D, though, only got access to a 2D copy.
Oh, okay.
Not a very good film. If you like gore and nudity of the female variety, then that's, you know, it's worth a watch. If you like watching movies with good story, then avoid. The story is terrible. The acting is even worse.
Does it have lots of pointy bits that poke you in the eye?
It does. 3D? It is full of 3D gimmicks. So if you have a 3D television, by all means, go out and buy it on Blu-ray.
So it's a Final Destination type of deal?
Yeah, yeah. It's a visual experience, nothing else. If you have 3D, it could be fun. If you're just watching it as a movie, don't bother.
Because it's just basically set on the day of Valentine's Day, isn't it?
Yeah.
All the terrible things happen. It's not
Valentine's
really
Day is incidental, really. Yes. The events happen on Valentine's Day because of a mining accident which happened on that day. It's not, you know, events relating to Valentine's Day itself. Oh. It's just incidental.
Disappointing.
Yeah, kind of pointless.
And you had another one there.
I thought of another one while we were on the air. The Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Wow.
Yes. Rebecca De Mornay.
Yes. Ooh, it's been a while, but
yeah. Now that's creepy.
She's creepy. Well, she is very creepy in the hat. Love that film. Yeah. Dean?
Well, while we're all sitting around talking, I did think of Dead Calm. Yeah. A good Aussie one set on a boat with Billy Zane and Sam Neill. And
that woman.
And so convincing that they had a loving relationship, as shown in the film, and Billy Zane's obsession with them and trying to kill Sam Neill off.
Yeah, well,
stuck on a boat
as you would, because you would. He's a New Zealander, and stuck on a boat with Dear Nicole.
Well,
but that's
I know which
great,
one I'd pick.
That's got some great slasher elements in it and thriller elements on a boat. So there's not very.
There's nowhere to go.
There's nowhere to go and hide.
And I loved it.
Yes, I could watch that again. Definitely. Good one. And again. Isn't there a meat hook in there?
No, no, no. There's a harpoon.
That's the one.
That's the harpoony thing.
Mm, nice. Nice bit of flesh tearing.
Never goes astray.
Do you have any others there?
The one that kept popping into mind, which is a little less horror, but a little more obsessive, but not that great when you really compare it to everything we've been talking about tonight. It just kept popping in was Cruel Intentions.
Oh, I don't know. That's got that obsessive quality, and it's got that nasty...
I think in the remake of what it was originally, it's just a bit too poppy at times, so I didn't feel it was dark enough, but it is definitely obsessive and really screwed up.
Actually, Heathers pops up.
Oh, my God.
With Christian Slater, your favourite.
Yes.
And the Winona. Wonderful Winona Ryder. Yeah, no, there's talk of them remaking that.
No.
Scary. Now, that's a horror film.
I hope they don't. Just re-show
it's the original. Wonderful film.
I love it.
1989. Brilliant. Have you seen that, Robert?
No, I haven't, but it is on my to-see list.
It's a see list.
Get to it.
Tony wanted to share something before we go.
The last movie of obsessive love that came to mind is a very perverted Japanese movie from about 10 years ago called Audition by Miike Takahashi.
Right. That's really nasty.
It gets very nasty. Very nasty. It's about an older man, a widower, who does some casting calls, which like auditions, but actually he's auditioning a new girlfriend. But
and you can relate to this because you're an actor. So.
Totally, exactly. And so he falls for this nice, sweet young thing, but it turns out that the sweet young thing, she lives in an empty apartment with just a telephone and a sack. And she has some fairly evil intentions in mind.
At least she's got a phone.
She's got a phone, at least.
She's connected.
Yeah, and she's...
Are they going to make that, a remake? That sounds like something that they would try to remake.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, maybe we should buy the rights now.
Yeah, maybe.
Before Hollywood
Let's
does.
Not tell anyone, though. Shh.
Yeah.
It'll be your secret.
Yeah. That's right. Just between us.
Okay.
So, yeah, I recommend Audition, but... maybe not for the if you're a bit squeamish. Yeah, and also once the kids have gone to bed as well.
Yes,
I think.
Make sure and they're chained to the bed. Because if you like me, if you like me, when I was a kid, if I knew there was a creepy movie on, I would climb out of bed. I would crawl. I would pretend I was in a trench, World War One or something, and crawl over things and under barbed wire to get to the lounge room and hide behind the chair and watch.
Oh,
I'm sure they heard me.
Well, because they wouldn't let you watch it, you just couldn't help yourself.
Yeah. Then they would pretend I wasn't there, so bad parenting.
Been there, done that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, well, we've got a few more messages. We'll come back and have to say a farewell to everyone here on Sci-Fi and Scream. It's been all too gone too soon.
Too brief.
The 100th episode.
Yes.
Yay.
It's brilliant.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream. That is a brilliant one, Dean. Dina Curry, tell us about what we were talking about.
I just had a brainwave and couldn't believe I hadn't mentioned it. I started thinking about the movie Old Boy, which is a Korean film, and it's fantastic. And this guy basically is all fat, and he's on the phone at the beginning of the film, and then he just disappears, and he's locked in a room where he has to watch TV when they let him sleep, when he can do exercise for years, like I think it's like 10 or 15 years, and he keeps thinking of his child because he doesn't know what's happened to him, to his daughter. And then one day he's actually just let out of the room, and he goes on this quest trying to find the person that locked him in that room and did that to him, and why, because he has no idea why. And it actually turns out that, spoiler, everybody, it turns out that when he was a child, he teased a young girl, and the brother of that girl
can lead to.
Well, the brother of that girl was in love with his sister, and so the sister killed herself, I think, and then this guy blamed him, so he locked him up. But to screw things with him even more, every time he was watching TV, he'd see a beautiful weather girl, and the weather girl that he then fell in love with was actually his daughter, but he didn't know because he was locked in the room the whole time. But it is a brilliant film.
It sounds like a real head job. I was going to say something else, but a head job will do.
That was odd.
That was strange. What's strange? We have 1 minute left. Any last messages, Robert Radcliffe?
Sure. I hope the listeners appreciated my contributions because I bled for you tonight.
I know. You cut yourself while you were photographing us.
Yes.
And the heart that we
had. Not
have.
In the studio for more than 15 seconds, and I'm lacerating myself brutally, shedding blood all for you, the dear listener.
But not over the equipment,
no,
which
of course
is great.
Not.
Tony Pittman.
Sonia Sotero, I just want to say happy bloody Valentine's Day and happy 100th show of Sci-Fi and Scream. A big congratulations.
Yay.
Hey. Ooh. Thanks for the sound effects. And Dean.
And a little bit of obsession goes a long way, is all I'm going to say.
Be obsessed, and you never know where it can lead. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you for episode 101 next week, 21st of Feb, Tuesday, 10 to 11 p.m., only on Joy 94.9. Cheers.
Hi, this is the fabulous Adam Richard on Sci-Fi and Scream! No, I'm not scary. Sorry.
That was fab, definitely.
Sci-Fi and Scream was synthesized and squashed into shape by Sonia. For more information, visit our Facebook page, Sci-Fi and Scream, or check out joy.org.au.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.